Freak. Okay, everybody, welcome to episode 54 of Feel Good Friday. 54 episodes in the book, after this one at least. 53 are in the book, 54 is I'm currently writing the book. You know, I keep on trucking. Ought to call me Ice Road, because I keep on trucking. I'll be honest, I was trying to think of a famous trucker that I could be like, ought to call me Billy Job Joe Redneck, beep boop, but I don't know any famous truckers. So I went with Ice Road, because I know Ice Road Truckers is a thing, pretty famous. Here's a fact, I've never actually watched Ice Road Truckers. I've watched Crab Catchers or whatever it's called. Holy shit, I can't actually remember the name. Because I always call Cassie would watch the show. Deadliest Catch. I would call it Crab Catchers because that's what it looked like to me. So I called it that for a while. We watched that a lot when Finn was like first born and there was still like quarantine happening and all that. But I never watched Ice Road Truckers. But I hear it's pretty insane. However, I couldn't think of an actual famous trucker. I don't know anyone from the show. I don't even remember anyone from Deadliest Catch, and I watched that a lot. I know there were like several boats, and I can't remember any of the names of the boats, any of that. So, but, you know, top of my head, to think of Ice Road Trucker, that's pretty impressive. I don't want to brag, but like, I wasn't planning on saying keep on trucking. And then I did, and then I was like, I have to think of a trucker reference. Ice Road, call me Ice Road, which Ice Road would be a kind of cool nickname if you want to. I'm rambling, aren't I? All right, I'm going to keep going. Whew, that was rough. Anyway, are you tired of that ad yet in the beginning? Are you tired of that? I understand. I am too. I skip through it. Straight up, I skip through it. You can too. I won't be offended. It's about a minute and 18 seconds long. About a minute and 18. Not that I'm keeping track. That I do it every episode, but minute 18, give or take like 4 seconds, somewhere around there. So just FYI, but I got to keep doing that ad because I got to get paid, man. You know, it's like the Joker said, if you're good at something, never do it for free. So I'm doing it for a fee. It's the smallest fee you can think of. I promise you. I'm over 2,500 streams. Or 1,500 streams, shooting for the stars on that one with 2,500, am I right? But I'm over 1,500 streams, and I've only made about 15 bucks, so it's like half a penny per stream or something like that. Something really small, minuscule even. That's a word. That's a good word, right? That's a big word. I'm proud of myself. A little pat on the back right there. Okay. But yeah, that's why I keep putting the ads in there, because, you know, I do get a little money, and 15 bucks, I'm not going to complain. 15 bucks, even though I already complained, 15 bucks is better than 0 bucks, right? That checks out. That's kind of science. That's just math, actually. Math and science, physics, all these smart subjects that I sucked in. Yeah, 15 bucks is greater than 0 bucks. So, just saying. And not to say that I'm good at this, you know, because I know I said if you're good at something, you never do it for free. If you're good at something, you will let people know. But if you're great at something, people will let you know. That's a Walter Payton quote. I don't know if it's verbatim. I don't know if it's verbatim. That might just be a little summary of it. But apparently I'm good at this because I'm letting people know. Now, I'm not going to say I'm great at it because no one has told me that I'm great at it. If you want to tell me that I'm great at it, I'm not going to be like, fuck you. I'm probably just going to be like, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what? I think you're right. No one has told me that I'm great at it yet. I'm not letting it get to me. Anyway, we're moving on. We're moving past that. It is episode 54. We got some fun stuff to talk about today. Some topics that I think are personally interesting. It is just me today again. I know I promised you George. He had to get his dad from the train station at the time that we were supposed to record, so couldn't do it today. It's a bummer, but it is what it is. Donnie and Griffin should be on soon for the NBA All-Star break, which is this weekend, actually, so I'm just going to get this out before they get on. If anything, I'll I'll release two episodes in a row because they might be coming over tomorrow. Maybe today. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. So, episode 54. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. You know what? I did such a long intro last time. Maybe I should cut this one a little short. Talking about Brady and Osborne. Why do I call him Osborne? Brady and Ozzy. Ozzy. Everyone calls him Ozzy. No one calls him Osborne. And if anything, you're going to call him Ozzy Osborne. You're going to call him by his full name. No one just calls him... Ugh. I am so disrespectful. I'm such a disrespectful lad. Yeah. I'm a bad boy. Anyway. I still think this podcast could be called Anyway. With how many times I say Anyway. Because I just go down this little rabbit hole of like stupidity. And then I try to dig out of it by saying Anyway. Anyway. Yeah, fuck it. We're going to play the intro music. 6 minutes is fine. Since last one was 22. It's all about balance. That'll balance it out, right? Yeah, balance. All about balance. Oh, God. Now, do I admit that that joke that I ended the intro on was very dumb? Yeah, I do admit that. But I also admit that it was off the top of my head. What are you going to do? Sometimes they work out. Like when I said, call me Ice Road, when I was talking about trucking. That was top of my head. I made the best I could with it. And that, you know, there we are. It's all good. It worked out. And then I talked about it for 5 minutes like an insufferable douchebag, but it's okay. Kind of sounded like Pacino right there. Like an insufferable douchebag, but it's okay. But it is. It worked out. However, my balance joke that I just tried at the end of the intro may have not worked out. That's probably due to shitty acting on my part. The delivery could have been a lot better. I admit that. And by the way, this is how my mind works. Pretty much everything I say, I analyze. I'm like, was that funny? Did that work? Was that stupid? How could I make it better? Can I improve it for next time? Which making it better and improvement, I know those are synonyms, essentially, you know, but like it's, what? Okay. Anyway. Oh, there, I said it again. I was talking about balance, and I was like, balance is everything, la 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 la. And then I acted like I fell over. Therefore, showing that I had no balance. Huh? Pretty funny. But I totally get it if you didn't laugh. So, because the delivery was awful. It was very cheap, you know. Okay, we're going to move on past the balance joke. I'm not proud of it. Just know that. Just know I'm not proud of it. And just know that I apologize for making you listen to it. And, I put you through that. And that was very wrong of me to do so. So, yeah. Okay. Super Bowl. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. God damn it. Because that happened. And I'm upset. Super Bowl 57. In the books. Chiefs, 38. Eagles, 35. Now, you see that and you're like, all right, Chiefs won this one. There's a lot of controversy going on. A lot of controversy. Okay, let's start off with the flag at the end. The holding penalty. A lot of people said it shouldn't have been called. And here's the main argument. You can pretty much call a holding penalty on any play of the game. It's one of those calls where if you want to nitpick, and if a ref really wanted to throw the game, they could call holding whenever they fucking wanted to. But they didn't. And I think they didn't to make it look like it wasn't rigged. And then they called it at the end. Bradbury holding Juju Smith-Schuster. That's an easy name to say. And that is sarcasm. Juju. I'm just going to call him Juju. I'm not going to say the rest of his name. Schuster. There we go. I said it anyway. They called that holding. And that basically sealed the game for the Chiefs. Now, I'm not saying that that call decided the game. It sealed the game, which I think is different. But I'm not 100%. Again, not a smart guy right here. Remember that show on Disney, Smart Guy? Yeah, that wasn't about me. That's a throwback, by the way. Those were the Even Stevens, Lizzie McGuire days. Smart Guy was on there. I'm old. But that didn't decide the game. Or I'm sorry, that didn't decide the game. It sealed the game, pretty much. It's a lot on the Eagles' defense. The Eagles' defense played so poorly, and they were supposed to be historically good. They had this historic sack rate, like I mentioned in the last episode. Nothing like a good old sack rate, you know, like sack rate to the face. That's what the Eagles had throughout the season. Now, a lot of people are calling them frauds, too. You look at their schedule, it's not the hardest schedule. And the playoff schedule, even. You beat the Giants, who are potential frauds, because the Giants beat the Vikings, who everyone knows the Vikings are potential frauds. A lot of frauds in the NFL. The Bears, though, they're not a fraud. The Bears just suck. They know that. So, no fraudulism there. So, the Eagles beat the Giants, who are potential frauds. They whoop the fuck out of them. Then they beat the Niners. That was supposed to be a good game. And then it just wasn't because Brock Purdy got injured. And now he's out six months. He's got to get Tommy John surgery or something like that. That's what I heard. Sorry. Smoking on the finest, you know? Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm probably sick. But, so a lot of people were saying they had an easy road to the playoffs. This is the first time they have to play like an actual difficult team in the Chiefs. And those people do not sound stupid anymore. Like, they sound actually correct, accurate. More synonyms right there. More Cinnabon rolls. Cinnabon. Yeah, that's what I'm getting today. Anyway, like, it looks like they were right. But it was a great game. It was a great game, and it's a shame. It's a damn shame that a lot of people are holding on to this holding call. Holding on to this hole. I didn't even realize that. Man, I'm a comedic genius sometimes without even realizing. It's pretty great. Like when I take my pants off and everyone starts laughing hysterically, I'm like, I didn't even do anything. I just took off my pants. Oh, is it my penis? It's so small? Yeah, probably. But a lot of Eagles fans, you know, obviously you lose the Super Bowl, you're disappointed. You're either going to accept it and you're going to grieve and you're going to get over it. Doubtful if you're a Philly fan. Or you're going to try to think of excuses why you didn't win. I've been there. Trust me, I've been there. A lot of Lakers fans were mad when the Lakers didn't win that game against the Celtics because LeBron didn't get that call. You're looking for an excuse as to why you didn't win because you don't want to accept that you just weren't good enough. That got deep real quick. I apologize for just thrusting that on you. Thrusting. But the thing was, in the second half, the Eagles did not stop the Chiefs once. They did not stop them once. They scored on every drive. You can't allow that to happen. It's 24-14 at halftime. You can't allow them to put up 38 points total. So what's that? 38 minus 14, 4, 24. Whew. Math magician over here. Alakazam or something. Okay, anyway. But seriously, you can't allow them to put up 24 points in the second half. It's Mahomes. Like, you know he's dangerous. And you got to guard. Like, the thing was, these plays that the Chiefs scored on, like, Kelce wasn't wide open, but he was pretty open. And then even throughout the game, like, Mahomes to Kelce is it's unreal duo. It's Brady to Gronk 2.0, but arguably better. He kept finding Kelce wide open. Like, you know he's going to go to Kelce. You know that. That is confidence. I will say, like, I would bet my dick and balls on it that Mahomes is going to try to throw it to Kelce. And he ended up with six receptions for 81 yards and a touchdown. Like, that's you knew it was coming. And the Eagles, who have this great defense, air quotes, just let it happen, pretty much. Now I get it. Andy Reid is a bit of a genius play caller. And Mahomes is Mahomes. It's Mahomes magic. You know, he's going to Disneyland. Maybe I'll see him there. Actually, he's already there. So he's probably not staying for 2 weeks. Mahomes ended up with, he was 21 for 27, solid passer rating, 182 yards. Very, you know, civilian game from him in that aspect. Three touchdowns, no interceptions. So it's a beauty of a game from that. You know, the touchdown interception ratio. And then obviously this puts him in the positive for his touchdown interception ratio in Super Bowls. He's now five touchdowns to four interceptions. He's 2-1 in Super Bowls. So all that shit I was talking in the last episode, I apologize, I'm an idiot, blah, 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 all that. The thing was, a lot of these, like, he made a couple plays on his feet. The last drive, there was a big, big run that he had. That could also be argued as the thing that sealed the game. But a lot of these passes, man, were just very, like, these guys are getting wide. The two touchdown passes in the second half, they ran the same play twice in a row to get a touchdown. Like, they got up to, like, the red zone, the goal line-ish area, and then they ran this pass play where the receiver, it was Kadarius Toney on the first one and Sky Moore on the second one. And they would act like they were going, you know, going all the way over other side of the field, and then they would pivot, turn back, and the defender was already down, and it was a touchdown. Both they were wide open. They were comically wide open both times. Isaiah Pacheco went 15 carries for 76 yards and a tutty. I like Pacheco. I think I'm going to try to grab him in fantasy next year if he's available. And Mahomes didn't get sacked once. That's impressive because, again, the Eagles have a historic sack rate throughout the regular season. Historic. And they didn't give to him once. So any history that the Eagles made with their sack rate, I'm just going to keep saying sack. Take a shot every time I say sack. It's getting a little crazy. It's Saturday. But any history they had, I think it kind of gets wiped away by not getting one sack in the Super Bowl where it matters most. Like, to me, that record is 85 Bears for life. Let's go to the other side of the ball. Eagles. Philadelphia. This is their third championship, major championship that they have lost in the past 3 months. I think 3 months, maybe four, something like that. They lost the MLS Cup. They lost the World Series. The Phillies lost the World Series to the Astros. And now they've lost the Super Bowl. To be a Philly fan right now, like, you're stoked, I get it, that your team is good enough to make it there, and that's probably what they'll come back with because the Bears suck and, you know, the Sox and the Cubs aren't doing anything, really. I don't think so. Although Benintendi, I like that. I like that signing on the Sox. The Cubs made a lot of signings. Anyway, they're going to say, like, oh, well, your team wasn't even there. You're watching from the couch. But, man, three major championships in a row. That's got to break your heart at least a little bit if you're a Philly fan. The waterworks are coming down for sure. But let's talk about the stats. That's just crazy. That's crazy. And I think the Sixers could make the finals and then probably lose to the Nuggets. Just saying. So they could make it four. I don't think the Flyers are doing anything. Boston's just too good this year. Like, if Boston doesn't win this, I don't know. The Leafs are making a lot of moves, but Boston is unreal. Like, if they don't win the Cup this year, like, it's all for nothing. But I don't know if that's the case. Sometimes a lot of people say, like, you know, you got to win the ring or it doesn't mean a thing. But I think regular season stats, regular season records, it's still pretty cool. Your name's in the record books. Of, like, it's above a lot of people that played the game. A lot of teams that played the game, whatever. Anyway, let's get to the Philly stats. Enough about the Philly. I'm not going to rub it in. But damn, that's going to suck. But anyway, Jalen Hurts went 27 for 38, 304 yards. That's a lot more than Mahomes, almost double. Touchdown, no interceptions. Almost had one interception. He kind of threw it up to A.J. Brown in double coverage. But it fell to the ground. It got tipped. Now, rushing. Now, also, no sacks for Jalen Hurts except for one where he ran out of bounds. And it looked like he was actually past the line of scrimmage, but they marked it as a one-yard loss. So that counted as a sack. Kind of flimsy, fucky, whatever, but that's what it is. His rushing, though, speaking of Jalen Hurts rushing, 15 carries for 70 yards, three touchdowns on the ground. Now, the rest of the team rushing, not great. I think this is another area that killed him. Kenneth Gainwell went 7 carries for 21 yards, 3 yards a carry. Miles Sanders, supposed to be the stud throughout the season, he went 7 carries for 16 yards, averaging 2.3 yards a carry. And then Boston Scott went 3 carries for 8 yards. So the rushing department did kind of kill him. But, you know, they made up for it a lot in the passing game. Devonta Smith had 7 receptions for 100 yards. A.J. Brown, 6 for 96 yards and a tutty. Dallas Goedert had 6 for 60. Gainwell did have 4 receptions for 20 yards. Even Pascal got in there. 2 receptions for 11 yards. But Miles Sanders got no receptions. I was surprised about that. They usually, I don't know, there's usually at least one in there. So it was a weird game. But I think, like I said in my last episode, the Eagles had the better all-around roster. But I think on Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 57, the better team won. You all-time collapse by the Eagles' defense. And it was just throughout the, like, 14 points in the first half, and it's whatever. You know, the Chiefs missed a field goal. But Kerr. But. Yeah. Sorry. Ripping some ganj, you know what I mean? Yeah, just kidding. Probably still sick from the last time that I coughed. I don't think I would cure it within this time frame, but I haven't taken anything. Got to take some Alka-Seltzer. Hey, Alka-Seltzer, brought to you by Alka-Seltzer. They're not a sponsor. That'd be so lame if that was. But it's good. It's not good. It doesn't taste. Anyway, moving on. Chiefs win 38-35. Well-deserved. Like I said, I am still over the Chiefs. Like, if they're back next year, I'm going to be upset. Like, come on. Unless if they play the Packers, then I will. I am the biggest Chiefs fan you know. If it's Chiefs-Packers, I am the biggest Chiefs fan in the world. I'll wear my Dante Hall jersey. I'll get a hat. I'll buy some boxers. I'll buy some panties, some Chiefs panties, and wear those. Like, go Chiefs if they're playing the Packers. Any other team, though, probably. Probably go the other team, which is a crazy thing, but it is what it is. So, halftime show was decent. It was Rihanna. She's Prego with baby number Dus. Her and ASAP getting busy. Getting busy, her and ASAP Rocky. More like ASAP Knock Me Up, because you did it twice already. She was in all red, which some people are saying is a tribute to Kanye. She's standing with Kanye. That, I think you're looking too much into it. She was fine. Like, there were a lot of people ripping on it. I don't think you should rip on it by any means, but I don't think you should praise it and be like, "This is the greatest show of all time." It's not. It was fine. We'll just say it was fine. You do realize how many hits she has. It was just banger after banger after banger. She was knocking them out. She was knocking them out. ASAP Rocky was knocking her up. Yeah, another pregnant joke. So, congrats, though, on your second baby. I'm sure being the child of Rihanna has to be a pretty cool thing. ASAP Rocky, I'm just kidding. I love ASAP Rocky. Been listening to him since high school. The national anthem, though, was the thing I liked the most. It's Chris Stapleton. It was beautiful. Beautiful rendition of the national anthem. Made me want to drink a whiskey on my back porch and cry while I was watching fireworks. Just whispering to myself, I fucking love this country. And I'm really not like a big, like, America guy. Like, I don't get me wrong. Like, I'm happy to be here. I'm grateful. But, like, you know, few things are, like, get me hyped up. And that actually got me hyped up. Made me emotional. Made Nick Sirianni very emotional. He was crying on the sideline. I think Jason Kelce was, too. So I got a haircut. Now people are saying I look like Jason Kelce. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I do. I think he's a lot more in shape, jacked, whatever you want to call it. Like, I think we're very different, but thank you for the compliment. I'll take it. I think it's a handsome dude. And I wish he would have had ring number 2. But the cards just did not fall. Or the pieces did not fall. The Eagles, whatever. Commercials were decent. There was a commercial for The Flash. Michael Keaton is returning as Batman. I know it kind of sounds like I'm glossing over that. I don't care too much. I think The Flash is going to suck. As a movie, I think a lot of people are going to see it just for Michael Keaton, which I get. It's Michael Keaton. It's awesome. Let's see. There's a movie coming out called 65, I think. Adam Driver, where it's basically like they're in the future, and then they go back in time to the dinosaurs. Looks crazy. It kind of looks like a horror movie with dinosaurs, which is cool because I feel like Jurassic Park turned... It was more of action-adventure, which I think this one will have a lot of that, but I think there's going to be a lot of scary aspects to it as well, because it's from the people who did A Quiet Place, so I'm assuming there will be a little fear, terror, whatever you want to call it in there. Ooh, sorry. Yeah, other than that, there's a Serena Williams for a Remy commercial. Remy Martin, I think, is the alcohol she was advertising for, where she did the Al Pacino speech from Any Given Sunday. Kind of butchered it. Sorry. I love Serena Williams. I do. If Cassie was like, hey, you can marry any other girl that you want. Like, if you can go ahead, this is your pass to marry another woman. Who's it going to be? I'll be like, Serena Williams. And she's like, you probably can't get Serena Williams. I'm like, all right, this will stay with you. I do love Serena Williams, but that was just not, it wasn't the right choice. Sometimes you gotta know what you're doing. Like, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. I don't think I saw any Doritos commercials from what I remember. There was a thing called Popcorners, which Popcorners, I hate that name a lot. I do. Commercial was decent because it was, you know, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul as Walter and Jesse from Breaking Bad. And then that other guy was in it who I can't think of his name because I haven't religiously watched Breaking Bad. Hand up, haven't watched it. But that was a good one. Ben Stiller doing the Pepsi commercial where he's kind of like going through some old characters and then he ends it with Zoolander. I like that. Like, you know, there was... Oh, another Fast one. Fast 10. Fast X is the one that's coming out. Yeah. Going to be great. They added Jason Momoa to it, which I think this might be the role that Jason Momoa was meant to play. A bad guy? A bad guy in... Because he's been a bad guy before. A movie called Bullet to the Head with Sylvester Stallone. Him and Sylvester Stallone have an axe fight. Pretty crazy. But I think this is a good role for him. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's going to be able to show off a lot of his acting chops. It's the Fast and Furious 10 movie, which the evolution of the Fast and Furious is like they start in the first one, they're just drag racing in alleys and shut down streets overnight. And now they're like in space and, you know, saving the world. It's wild. Sorry. Oof. Some devil's lettuce, you know? Devil's cabbage. But anyway. Yeah, so commercials were mediocre. Nothing too crazy. There was Guardians of the Galaxy 3 trailer, which I'm pumped for. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm hearing the new Ant-Man is not great. I'm hearing it's a swing and a miss from Marvel, from the MCU. Wakanda Forever was decent. I finally watched that. I'm not saying I could have gone without it, but like if I still hadn't watched it, like I wouldn't be totally upset about it. By the way, you might hear Theo hydrating herself. She was just outside playing. But it was fine. It was one of those, it was fine. It was a fine thing. I don't care. Whatever. I wasn't blown away. There were some cool scenes. Like there were some, don't get me wrong, it is cool. It's MCU. They could pull off some cool stuff. That's what I'm hearing about Ant-Man too. There's some scenes that are kind of cool. Guy even used the word great. Just like the word that is not used to describe me. But Wakanda Forever, it's just, you know, it was all right. It was all right. It was, I don't know. The film wasn't necessarily a tribute to Chadwick Boseman, but just without him there, that it's just not the same. I think the Black Panther franchise has taken a little bit of a hit. Like, that's not the way you want to have to write out a character, is from him passing in real life. And then you continue on, because, you know, it's Marvel, so they're not just going to stop. Like, this isn't some standalone franchise. Like, this is all connected in the MCU. So I get that, but, you know, it's just difficult. Because Chadwick Boseman did such a great job as T'Challa. And I liked Shuri, his acting sister, whatever. I liked her in the first movie, in the movies, you know, that they were featured in, the MCU movies, all those. But it's just, I don't know. It's a difficult thing. I think they did it well enough, like that probably better than I ever could, obviously better than I ever could, considering the fact that I'm sitting here recording in my boxers, no biggie, in my living room. And they're probably in some multi-million-dollar mansion, thinking about how they're going to incorporate Ghost Rider into the new thing. I don't know. And I heard Moon Knight will return, which I'm pumped about. I love Moon Knight. Great show. Okay. It's my MCU talk. I'm sure when George is on, so hopefully next Saturday George will be on, we're going to talk a lot about MCU. He's a big movie guy. Big movie guy. We actually made a movie together. We'll talk about it. Don't you worry. All right. I'll be back. Like I said, I got a lot more fun things to talk about. Just wanted to get that Super Bowl talk out of the way because you guys deserve to hear it. My loyal fan base. I love all of you. Also, if you're listening to this, be sure to rate my podcast on Spotify or whatever. I think I haven't seen it on other platforms, but on Spotify, you can rate it. It's a 5-star system. Give it 5 stars. Like if you give it 4 stars, like why would you do that? I'll find you and I'll kill you if you do that. No biggie, but I will. It's not like a huge sample size. I'm sure I'll be able to find you. Plus, everyone has given it 5 stars up to this point. So like, why break the mold, you know? Like breaking the mold is fine if it's for like a good thing, like being the first African-American to play baseball, Jackie Robinson. Don't know why that was the example I thought of, but he broke the mold in that aspect. Like, break the mold in that aspect. That's fine. But like, don't break the mold in being a dick. You get what I'm saying? All right, I'm moving on. We're going to be back. Don't worry. Like I said, episode 54. We got some stuff to talk about, including the Billboard's all-time greatest rapper list, top 50, at least top 50. We got some Netflix stuff to talk about. There's a series called Full Swing. And then who knows what else will come up. It's a wild world out there. Maybe we'll talk about the weather balloon that got shut down. Maybe we'll talk about the UFOs that are appearing. Maybe we'll talk about the shit that's going on in Ohio. That's all a little bit serious. Not my area of expertise. But who knows? That's the beauty of life. Who fucking knows? 'All right, everybody, and we're back. Back in action. Looney Tunes back in action. Brendan Fraser going for an Oscar this year. And I don't know why I started talking like that. I apologize. But Looney Tunes back in action. I think I've used that one before. Back in Black by AC/DC. I know I've used that. I guess Back to Back. I could use that, right? That's a Drake song, isn't it? Anyway, I don't know. Speaking of Drake, though, let's get right into it. No foreplay. Let's get right into what I want to talk about. We're getting right into it. No dancing around naked, trying to get you in the mood. You know, feathers and whipped cream and chocolate-covered strawberries. None of that. We're getting right into it. Billboard collaborated with Vibe to make a 50 Greatest Rappers of All Time list. This was in honor of hip-hop's 50th anniversary. So, there was a thing at the Grammys. I know a Big Boy, Busta Rhymes came out. Method Man was there. I love Method Man, Busta Rhymes. Big Boy's part of Outkast. And Speaker Box and the Love Below is arguably the greatest album of all time. That's a bold statement, I know. But it's something I grew up on, so I say that. Anyway, Billboard and Vibe collaborated to make this list. So, I am going to go through the list. Let's count down. You want to count down? We'll count down. Okay. Because it's caused a lot of controversy. A lot of people shared it, and they're like, this isn't right. Even Charlamagne the God was speaking on it, which that guy, you know, he could be a jackass, but sometimes he makes valid points. I don't know. If you agree with him, you agree with him. If you don't, you don't. And that's life. Sometimes you agree with people, sometimes you don't. You move on. That's all it is. Anyway, let's count down. 50 was Rick Ross. You know, Hustlin' was the big one that came on to the scene. Like, every day I'm hustlin'. That got him. That was 2006, I think. And that was like a summer anthem. Then 59. Or I'm sorry. I'm already fucking up. And I'm one rapper in. 49 was Reverend Run from Run DMC. You know, that's just a classic right there. I'm not going to fight that at all. 48 was Melly Mel. That's what I call my buddy Mel at work, and I don't think he understands the reference. Maybe he does. If he does, he doesn't, you know, give into it. He's kind of like, oh, hey, Joe. Like, he's not Melly Mel at all, like, in that sense. But so 48 was Melly Mel. You go down, it's 47 is MC Light. MC Light, first female rapper on the list. you know, if you're counting backwards. Light as a Rock was the debut album in 1988. Whew. Anyway. 46 is Jadakiss. I'm really happy Jadakiss is on the list. However, I think he should be higher. Now, here's the thing. And the top 10 was the one that was debated the most. It was the area that was debated the most. And honestly, I'm not sure how they did it. I'm not sure if they went based off relevance, based off success, based off just straight up the quality of content that you're putting out, the quantity of content that you're putting. Like, there were so many ways you can judge this. And it's like the same with the versus battles. Like, you know, it was Snoop Dogg versus DMX. And it's like, Snoop Dogg's been around longer. DMX goes harder. Like, you know. And that's, you know, I know Snoop Dogg has his history, you know, being a criminal and all that. But DMX, he just sounds, like, rougher. He gets me more pumped up. Whereas Snoop Dogg, I'm trying to put on if I'm at a party or if I'm chilling, you know, something like that. Smoking, maybe. A little Smokey Dopes. Like, I was Smokey Dopes. That's how white I am. I'm going through a top 50 greatest rappers of all time list, and I just said Smokey Dopes. So, golly, isn't that great? So Jadakiss is 46, he should be higher, but I am glad that they put him on the list because he totally deserves to be there. That's Jadakiss. That didn't sound like him, but and then Dipset and the Lox, LOX, they did a versus in 2021 and he fucking ruined Dipset because he's awesome. 45 is Ice-T, you know, 6 in the morning. Colors is great. Cop Killer was insane. Original Gangster. It's funny, he made Cop Killer, and now he's on Law and Order. So, but he deserves to be there. 44, Queen Latifah. Sure, why not? She's the queen. She's the original queen before Beyonce. 43 is Bun B. I love that. I grew up listening to a lot of Bun B. Very trill of me to do that. I am a trill kind of guy. So, no biggie. 42 is Redman. Again, one that I'm happy that they put him on the list, but he should be higher. The punchlines this guy would come up with are insane, the metaphors and whatnot. He's put out a lot of content, and he's one of those that I think is criminally underrated. 41 is E-40, the Bay Area boss man himself. He's put out so much content, so many albums for years now, and he's been consistent with it. He hasn't really changed his style. Like, he's always got that. He talks like this and goes like that. Yeah. So he's great. I love E-40. 40 is Dr. Dre. Now that is, I think, so I guess if it is rappers, then Dr. Dre being on the list is, you know, 40 is all right, because Dr. Dre, a lot of his fame or his niche, I guess, would be producing. He was in NWA and he was rapping, and then he had some solo projects, The Chronic, which The Chronic can be, it's crazy because he's number 40, but The Chronic can be argued as one of the best hip-hop albums of all time, if not the best. It can be argued. I'm not saying it is. It can be argued. And then Straight Outta Compton from in 1988, like, that's one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time. 2001. You cannot deny that's one of the greatest. So the guy is a hit machine. 39 is Ludacris. So happy he made the list. Another Bun B. I listened to him growing up a lot. Ludacris, I've listened to so much more than Bun B. Like, I listened to Ludacris a lot. I had Back for the First Time, Word of Mouth, Chicken and Beer, Red Light District. I had all these albums growing up. He was a huge influence on me. And really grew my love of hip-hop. Word of Mouth, specifically, was one of the albums I listened to a lot. But, you know, he said Get Back, Roll Out, Stand Up, like, Moneymaker on Release Therapy in 2007. He took home the Grammy for Best Rap Album and Best Rap Song in 2007. Release Therapy was the Best Rap Album, and Moneymaker was the Best Rap Song. So I think he should have won it before that, because I think his previous albums before Release Therapy were better. 38 is Gucci Mane. Now this is one, so like lyrically, I would take Ludacris, I would take Redman, I would take Bun B, like all these rappers over Gucci. But Gucci did a lot for hip-hop. He's a bit of a pioneer-ish type. Like, he revolutionized trap. He's one of the, if not the greatest trap artist of all time. So I'm sure that's why, like, he's on this list. 37 is Common. Common's one that gets slept out a lot because he, he's done a lot of other stuff, and people forget that he's one of the coldest MCs in the game. 36 is Yasiin Bey, the artist formerly known as Mos Def. Can't deny that. The guy is amazing at what he does. Just so many hits. It goes on and on. Like, I'm not even gonna go through them because I'll be talking about it all day. 35 is Future. Future deserves to be on there. The guy's a hit machine. Just like Mos Def, formerly known as Mos Def. Sorry. I say Mos Def all the time, by the way. When people are like, "You going to that thing?" I'm like, "Yeah, Mos Def, dude." And yeah. Anyway. Future's on there. He's kind of a mumble rapper. I will not lie. Like, he has a lot of songs to talk like this. He almost sounded Mexican. I'm sorry. I'm not good at impressions today, apparently. But he's done a lot of work with Drake, and he's ever since Turn Off the Lights and Same Damn Time came out over a decade ago, like, he's been killing it ever since. He has 8 number one albums and 10 top 10 Hot 100 hits to his name. So Chuck D from Public Enemy is 34. Thank God he's on this list. He's a big influencer of mine as well. I like his flow because he talk like he raps like this. He's got that deep voice and just that, it's like a hard type of flow that you're fucking listening. And obviously, the content that Public Enemy was releasing, you're gonna listen to his stuff. 33 is Busta Rhymes. Busta Bus, you can't deny it. His 90, like the 90s, it was a lot of Busta Rhymes. He's one of the biggest rappers in the world. He had a feature on a Tribe Called Quest's single from 92 called Scenario. That was his feature, and he kind of made that song. So then since then, the late 90s was late 90s, early 2000s, Busta Rhymes is whew, yeah. 32 is T.I. You can't deny T.I. You can't deny T.I. What a guy. I just keep saying the whitest things ever during this list, just to clarify, like, I might not know what I'm talking about, but I am just going through this list. I'm letting you know my opinions, and, like, Jadakiss should be higher, Redman should be higher. It could be argued that Dr. Dre should be way higher. T.I., I think 32 is a fine spot. He had a lot of early 2000s. Like, there's 2001's I'm Serious. That was actually disappointing. But then 2003, Trap Music, whew, that was a breakthrough album for sure. And then since then, he got bigger, He Swagger Like Us. He's worked with Jay-Z, Eminem, Kanye West. Like, the guy is great. He's got a lot of lyrical precision. He's one of those. Lil' Kim at 31. Lil' Kim, I don't think should be higher than Redman. I don't think should be higher than Busta Rhymes. I don't think should be higher than T.I. I don't think, But she's there because, I think she was. Oh, fuck, dude. I'm sorry. I keep coughing. I don't think I am sick. I think I just have something in my throat that is deciding not to come out and it's just going to fuck with me all day. So that's great. Lil' Kim was very raunchy. I think she was a bit of a mold breaker, going back to breaking the mold, because she was kind of like this badass, like, she wasn't like this, like, feminine rapper. Like, she's this badass chick who's going hard on the mic, and so I think a lot of it came from that. Lauryn Hill at 30. Lauryn Hill, you could argue, could be higher. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill and from 1998, game changer. Game changer. So 29, Pusha T. I like Pusha T. He's great. He's got his beef with Drake, and I think he beat the fuck out of Drake in that beef. But he's great. I think 29 might be a little. Again, when you put Jadakiss at 46, the list is already flawed, right from there. And then Redman ranked as low as he was, like, we could do a lot better. 28 is Black Thought. I like that a lot at 28. 27 is Q-Tip. Perfect, not perfect position, but fine positioning at 27. 26 is Big Pun. RIP. I'm not a player, I just crush a lot. That was from the The hit Still Not a Player from 1998, no big deal. That was actually from his debut album, Capital Punishment. Get it? Pun? Punishment? Now, Still Not a Player was a remix to the lead single, I'm Not a Player, but then Still Not a Player just happened to be better. So, 25 is Method Man. I love that he's in the top 25. I think he deserves to be higher. I think he's one that's criminally slept on. All his work with Wu-Tang and then his solo projects and his work with Redman. He's a decent actor as well. He's funny. Like, a lot going on for Method Man. Not that the acting and all that would propel him higher in this list specifically, but he should be higher than 25. 24 is KRS-One. A little low for KRS-One. Not going to lie. Should be higher. Again, should be higher. Self-Destruction, The Bridge Is Over, like, I don't know. Anyway, 23 is Curtis Blow. I'm fine with that. He's one of the pioneers as well, one of the OGs of the rap game. So Curtis Blow at 23, show him respect. 22 is Ghostface Killa. Now, this is why I think it's a lot of content. Like, it's quantity as well. Because Ghostface released a lot of albums in a row. He released a lot of albums in general. Like, and he still is doing it to this day. But for him to be higher than Method Man and Redman and Jadakiss, like, I don't know. I love Ghostface. I do. I used to play with him all the time in Def Jam Vendetta and Def Jam Fight for New York. But 22, I would maybe switch him and Method Man at least. At least. And then we all know how I feel about Jadakiss and Redman, so I'm going to shut up about that. I'm going to stop repeating that over and over. DMX at 21. I love that for DMX. DMX, I think he's another part of the... He's another reason I got into hip-hop as heavy as I did. And then there was X, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, Grand Champ, It's Dark and Hell is Hot. The guy has a lot of amazing albums. And I'm going to use the word amazing. And I'm not going to hold back when I say amazing. He's got a lot of amazing albums, and I love him for that. He can hang with the best all the time. 20 is Big Daddy Kane. I like it. I do. I think a lot of people were like, Big Daddy Kane at 20, what the fuck? It's just because you didn't grow up with him. Like, do some research. The guy is incredible. He's, I don't know, he's got a lot of, his performances were really huge. Fast flowing, double time rap style, like, and he was a ladies man for sure. He was a ladies man before LL Cool J. So, 19 is Missy Elliott. I love that. She's probably my favorite female rap artist of all time. Lauryn Hill is up there. You know, it sounds like I don't know any rap. I do know female rap artists. I have Trina, Lil' Kim, Shauna. I had a huge crush on Shauna growing up. But, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, you know. She's got The Rain, Hot Boys, and Get Your Freak On. Work It's probably it. Is it worth it? That one, yeah, that's probably her biggest. So, 18 is Ice Cube. Top 20, well deserved for sure. Ice Cube, one of the best lyricists of all time. O'Shea Jackson, you know, and now his son's an actor. He was a big part of N.W.A. I would say he was the voice of N.W.A. over Eazy-E, over Dr. Dre, obviously over MC Ren. But then his solo work even was amazing as well. 17 is 50 Cent. Get Rich or Die Tryin', arguably the greatest album of all time. Hip-hop album of all time. Maybe album of all time. Every song on that album is a banger. And it was one of the albums that I grew up heavy listening to. I heavily grew up listening to whatever, some form of those words, just put them together and whew. But yeah, it's one of the best. And then The Massacre was great too. Curtis was decent. It was a decent album, but The Massacre was a fine follow-up for an already like bar-setting album with Get Rich or Die Tryin', In the Club, PIMP, 21 Questions, Patiently Waiting with Eminem. Like, I can go on and on. If I Can't, it wasn't even a hit on that album, but it's one of my favorite songs of all time. Bump, 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 dugga, dugga, bump. Okay, we're done. 16 is Scarface. Love that they're showing love to Scarface. Put him in the top 16, top 20, whatever. Top 16 is a weird number, so. But yeah, Scarface, he again, he's got that rough sounding voice, that rough flow. He's from Hugh, like he was a member of Ghetto Boys. They had a lot of hits. Like he's been killing it, and he's worked with Jay-Z, Nas, Tupac, and the list goes on and on with that one. 15 is J. Cole. I do like J. Cole. I do like him a lot. I think he's one of the greatest rappers of this generation. There are a lot of rappers that I just previously named that I would put before J. Cole. That's no respect to J. Cole. I love J. Cole. But I feel like there are better ones out there. But he has 2014 Forest Hills Drive is an amazing album. Amazing album. So 14 is LL Cool J. I get it. He's one of the pioneers. I get it. You know, I need a beat. Mama said, not, you know, again, the list goes on and on for that one as well. I think 14 is a little high for LL Cool J. And I'm not trying to hate on LL Cool J. I'm just saying, I just think it's high. I know what LL Cool J has done for the rap game. Again, he's one of the kind of originals, you know, grew up in that, or came up in that Run DMC, Beastie Boys time. 13 is Rakim. Well-deserved. Well-deserved at 13. Number 12 is Andre 3000. Should be higher. Should be higher. Andre 3000, I think he can go against anybody lyrically. He's a genius, and I think 12 is almost low for Andre 3000. Now, this is where it started to upset people. 11 was Kanye West. People were like, Kanye West at 11, that's fucking robbery. What the fuck? And they, you know, up in arms about it. Look, I need to know what the basis was for this list. That's what I need to know. Because right now, I'm not sure. If Kanye West is at 11, it has to be, like, lyric. Like, he started to fall off lyrically after the album Graduation. Lyrically, not sound. He made a lot of hits after Graduation. But, like, it just wasn't... It didn't, like... There are a lot of lines from College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation that stick with me. Whereas... It's more so the beats and the sound of the song that stick with me after Graduation. So that has to be why he's 11. I can't see it. Like, it's because he's polarizing. And the person who made this list may be on the end of the polarizing spectrum that hates him because of what he said about the Jews. I don't know. Just saying. 10 is Nicki Minaj. That one I'm not cool with. I get it. She's one of the most successful female rap artists of all time, if not the most successful. But top 10, get the fuck out of here. You're going to put Lauryn Hill at 30 and Nicki Minaj at 10? That's a little nuts. And not trying to take away anything from Nicki Minaj. She's great. Yada, yada, yada. But top 10 is wild. 9 is Snoop Dogg. Respect. Respect. He deserves it. He's been killing it for years. He's still making music. And it's not bad music, I'll tell you that. So, he deserves to be at number 9. I agree with that. 8 is Drake. Disagree. A lot of rappers that I've named previously that I would put in this top 10 that aren't Drake. I would move Drake out. Just saying. But this must be success or relevancy or something. That's how they made this list. Because that's all I can think of. Lil Wayne is number 7. A lot of people said he should be top 5, top 3, even number 1. I think he's fine at 7. I think a lot of people get so caught up in his good rhymes that they forget. He's also said a lot of dumb shit, too. Like, they're just, I'm like, what is going on? Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I know that's going to cause some controversy if I diss Lil Wayne. I'm not dissing Lil Wayne. I love Lil Wayne. The Carter 1 and 2 are two of my favorite albums of all time. The Carter 3 is also up there. 1 and 2, though, I grew up on those. My mom actually yelled at me because I was playing the Carter 2 one time. And she was like, can you turn that off? It's so offensive. And, you know, it's because, you know, he's cursing a lot. And that's what it is. That's why my mom hated that I loved hip-hop so much. Because it's a lot of cursing. So. 6 is Biggie. I love that. I think 6 is a perfect spot for him. As a Pac guy myself, I think 6 is a perfect spot for Biggie. One of the best to ever do it. R.I.P. 5 is Eminem. Should be higher. Just gonna say it. Should be higher. Eminem is lyrically. Maybe it's because he's fallen off a little bit. But that's even that's a stretch. Like, the albums he's put out recently aren't bad. They're different from what he used to put out, but they're not bad at all. But, you know, it is what it is. Billboard had him at 5. He's got 15 Grammys, though. 10 number one Billboard 200 albums. 3 certified diamond singles in Lose Yourself, Love the Way You Lie, and Not Afraid. And Love the Way You Lie and Not Afraid are more recent-ish. You know, not totally recent, but recent-ish. His old stuff is better than those, but those get played a lot more. Number 4 is Tupac. Fair. The difference between Biggie and Tupac was Tupac had, like, Biggie had the flow. Biggie's flow is almost unmatched. He sounded so cool on the mic. Tupac had the message. He fucking, every song he was trying to tell a story or bring something to the light, some kind of issue. He was an activist before activism was cool. Like, and then he was an actor, and he was great. Someone tried to downplay hit him up the other day, and I wanted to find their address and kick him in the shin really hard, maybe even the nuts. I forgot if it was a chick or a guy. Either in the nuts or the puss. One of them. I'm going to kick one of them. 3 is Nas. Well-deserved, well-respected. He just put out an album that is arguably the best album of the last year, King's Disease 3. Like, he's still got it. The King's Disease franchise has been incredible, and that's the fact that he's been doing it for over, like, 2-3 decades, and he's still putting out potentially best albums of the year. Like, Nas is something different. 2 is Kendrick Lamar. I get why they put him up there. He's deep and all that. You know, he could breathe on the track, and Kendrick Lamar fans would be like, oh my God. I don't know. I think 2 might be a little high. I think he's there's more he could be doing. But he is where he is. I'm not mad at it because I do love me some Kendrick. Do love me some Kendrick. I think To Pimp a Butterfly, one of the greatest albums of all time. Damn is one of the greatest albums of all time. Like, he's got it. And then he was at the Super Bowl last year with some of the greatest of all time. So I get that. Number one is, what? Lil Baby. Just kidding. It's not Lil Baby. It's Jay-Z. Lil Baby didn't make the list. Huh? Fuck you. Nothing against Lil Baby. He's fine. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He was adorable on SNL. Like, at the end of it, you could tell he's, like, never been on live TV before because he just looked all nervous and he kept throwing up the peace sign, and it was like, oh, Lil Baby, you a little gangster, you. But Jay-Z is number one. People are trying to argue that. I don't know if I would argue that. I don't know if I would argue Jay-Z at number one. He's amazing. And I sound like I'm fanboying out, like I'm getting a little, like maybe a little gay-Z, you know what I mean? But he's, when you think of hip-hop, it's hard not to think of Jay-Z. It really is. And he's been around for a while, so even the old heads think about Jay-Z. Now, do I think the dreads are a bit much? Do I think he should go back to that clean cut, you know? But yeah, I do. But he's still making good music, and I don't know. He was the first rapper to be inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. That's awesome. The longevity of his career, the breadth of his accomplishments, and he's from, like, what he's meant to the genre is huge. Musically, culturally, financially. Like, the guy is an idol. So I get it. And again, I'm not trying to God him, even though God did, you know what I mean? Because that's a Jay-Z song. It's from DJ. Well, it was DJ Khaled. But Jay-Z was, like, he was the main part of it. Anyway. But even Jay-Z, you know, even Jay-Z has had a stinker or two. Like, his verse on Monster by Kanye West. It's like, he just starts naming monsters. He's like, Godzilla, King Kong. Like, yeah, all right, you're better than that. So, that is the list of the top 50 rappers of all time, according to Billboard and Vibe. I do think they missed some. I do think Tech N9ne should be on there. What he's done for the independent rap scene is huge. I do think Cassidy should be on there. Cassidy is, punchline-wise, no one brings it like Cassidy. Joe Budden should be on there. what he's done for hip hop, whether it's just to get people talking about it or get people interested, like he's huge. So those are just a few that I think they missed. None of the Beastie Boys being on there, or the Beastie Boys as a whole, like fuck you for that. I get it, their rhymes were a bit corny, but they kind of revolutionized it. So all this stuff goes into it, and yeah, that is the top 50 Billboard hip hop greatest all time, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. That's what it is. So, all right. Gonna take another break. We'll be back though. I'm gonna wrap it up like a burrito. We're already going on about an hour, so that's enough, right? With the outro, we'll be over an hour. And with the outro, I have one more thing I want to talk about. It's that Netflix series. And who knows, I might go on to some other stuff because that's what happens. That one time I talked about Burger King for like 10 minutes, wasn't planning on doing that. And it just happened. Sometimes things happen. It's the beauty of life. It's unpredictable. It's the beauty, it's also the tragedy, because sometimes bad things can happen that are unpredictable. But sometimes good things can happen that are unpredictable. I didn't expect to fall in love. Before Cassie, I was going to be single the rest of my life. I was done with relationships. After the last one before her, like I was like, all right, you know what? It's not for me. And then I found her. Everything changed. I found her. I didn't think I could have her at first. And then I found out that it was possible. And I was like, oh shit. And I like got nervous, and then it happened, and here we are. Didn't think we could have Finn. Now we have Finn. Anything is possible in this life. I'm telling you, anything is possible except for, I don't know, me liking the Packers. That's probably never going to happen. Sorry, babe. It's just not. All right. Taking a break. Going to be back to wrap it up like a big old burrito. Double steak. Maybe that garlic steak that they got now. Even though it's a little bit more expensive. But hey, maybe I just got paid. Maybe I'm feeling a little bougie. I don't even like guac. Fuck it. Throw it in. I know it's extra. I'm rich, bitch. I'm not rich at all. Donate to my GoFundMe. All right, everybody. We are going to wrap this thing up. Episode 54 is officially in the books. Next episode is going to be the basketball special, the NBA All-Star Break special with Donnie and Griffin, two of my buddies. Previous guests. They're now recurring guests. No big deal. But, yeah, no, I want to wrap up with this thing that I watched on Netflix. It is Full Swing. It's a golf docu-series, essentially. It follows the lives of some of these golfers while they're out on tour. Mostly the PGA Tour, the PGA Majors, which is the U.S. Open, the Open, the Masters, and the PGA Championship. I know that now. I'm a bit of a golf aficionado after watching this. I actually have an episode and a half left, but, you know, who's keeping score? Me, apparently. But, yeah, no, so I watched this. I'm not a golf guy. If you know me, you know I'm not a golf guy. It is not my sport. The outfits are, ugh. Like, I think tennis has worse outfits. I don't know. But I think I like the shorts better than the slacks. So between tennis and golf, I think I might choose tennis. It basically, the show confirmed what I had already believed, which is that golfers, kind of boring people. But it's not like, so they're competitive, but it's like, it's not like Ray Lewis competitive, like they're not about to kill anyone, you know, which he did. It's a different type of competitive from football. And I'll tell you how competitive these golfers are. This is one of the big takeaways from this Full Swing. I was watching it, and this guy comes in 35th place. 35th place. And he brings home like $75,000. What? You're telling me I can come in 35th place in something and leave with like more money than I made in like the past 3 years? Said more weirdly. I apologize. I don't know why that's stuck with me. But $75,000. And they're like bummed about it. They're trying to make it seem like a bad thing. Like this one guy came in 5th place and he left with like, it was like $700,000 or something like that. And it's like, oh, you know, I could have done better. God. And then the thing is, though, I'm thinking about that. And I'm like, oh, man, that's ridiculous that you could be upset or that you can come in 35th place or whatever and leave with that much money. The thing is, it's kind of like that in all sports. Like, all players, all teams have players that they pay a lot of money because they're great players. They want to keep them there. Sell more tickets, sell more jerseys, merchandise, whatever. They could be like the last place team. But they have these players that they have to pay a lot of money to. So you got players making millions of dollars, even more than golf. And your team is coming in last place. So at first I was like, golf is crazy. But then I was like, no, this is all sports. They're losing. There's a worst team in every league. There's a last place team in every league. And on that team, there's some player that's getting paid millions of dollars. And the team sucks. So it's kind of like that with golf, except it's individual. It's just they try to, like, they have like little gym montages in this thing. And it's like from 7 Days in Hell, the Andy Samberg, Kit Harington mockumentary about tennis, a 7-day tennis match. And they show Kit Harington in the gym and he's just on the elliptical. He's going really fast for like 15 minutes and then he's done. It's kind of what it feels like. And they try to, they make it seem more badass than it really is. Golf is not a badass sport. Competitive? Sure. Clearly. These guys are bummed that they came in 5th place and walked out of there with close to a million. Maybe even a million, depending on the tournament. So, yeah, it's competitive. These guys are driven. They want to win. But it's still, like, it didn't swing me. No pun intended. It did not swing me to be an avid golf watcher. I'll pay a little more attention to it. I left, or at least I've left so far, these past 6.5 episodes, with more knowledge than I had before. A lot more knowledge. Like the thing I stated earlier, the PGA Championship, or the PGA Tour, the four majors and that. There's a bunch of other, you know, titles and matches, or whatever you call them, opens, I don't know. See, I don't know too much still. But I'm not going to be like, you know, all right, babe, I'm putting on the Masters. The Masters, maybe, because everyone puts on the Masters. It's kind of like, it's just like spring. But, like, I'm not going to be like, all right, I just put, like, my bet in for Dustin Johnson to win this one. Actually, he's in LIV, so that was a bad example. Justin Thomas to win this one. So the first episode's Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. Second episode, who is in the second episode? I'm not sure. Joel Damon was the fourth episode, and he was arguably my favorite. He's just kind of average, and he actually has a quote where he's like, somebody's got to be the 70th best golfer in the world. Might as well be me. And then they kind of show him partying, and even the golf parties are a little like, it's very classy and very white. It's just a white sport. That's what it is. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, there's Colin Morikawa and Tony Finau, who I really liked Finau. He got super emotional, though, towards the end. Like, every time he would win, they would interview him afterwards and he would start crying. I'm like, dude, just come on. Get it together, man. Get it together, man. But I would love to call him Finau the Phenom, but he's got a lot of work to do, apparently. And then Thigala is one of the guys. Zahith? Thigala? It's a crazy name. But he's on there. So it's not like, it's not all just white people. But man, those environments, those super classy country clubs and those rich houses and everyone in their nice, like, it's very white. But I will say this, it did make, like, it kind of confirmed what I had been thinking. I want Finn to get into either golf or tennis. These are sports where you can make a lot of money, and the price you pay physically is not that bad. You have Phil Mickelson, who just won a major, like, last year before he went on the LIV Tour, defied all odds. Tiger Woods did it in 2019 when he won the Masters after the act. Like, you don't have to be in tip-top physical shape. Despite what all the gym montages and Full Swing will tell you, it's not, you don't have to be on your A game. Mentally, yeah. It is a lot of mental. That's what the thing is. It's obviously, there is physicalness to it. You know, you need that swing. You need the proper poise. You need to make sure everything's moving all right, stretching out. You got to limber up before you shoot, before you tee off or whatever. But a lot of it's mental. If you get in your own head, you're fucked. So, and this is coming from a guy who literally just watched one season of a docuseries about golf. I haven't golfed 18 holes in my life, except for mini golf. And a lot of the time I lose that. So I'm not good at golf, but it's that I believe a lot of it is mental as well. Not all mental. There's some physical, but a lot of it's mental. But Joel Damon, you got a new fan in me. Yeah, the rest of them were all very vanilla. And that's not a white thing, because they weren't all white. Even Finau. I thought Finau was going to be this new guy that I liked, but, like, meh. Kind of boring. Super emotional. I get it. He's going through a lot. Very, very emotional guy. Don't know if I could hang with him. I'm just kidding. If he was like, hey, Joe, I want to be on the podcast, I'm like, absolutely, you're my best friend. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. Matt Fitzpatrick and I almost called him Ryan Fitzpatrick. Matt Fitzpatrick basically shared an episode with Dustin Johnson. Sorry. They get Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas mixed up because it's two pretty white names. I get them mixed up. But Dustin Johnson shared an episode with Matt Fitzpatrick. Matt Fitzpatrick is this very small in stature kind of guy from Britain, Sheffield, I believe, across the pond. And he's got big teeth. And he's like, you know, I'm not like, or someone on it. I think it was Dan Rappaport. Which there are so many Rappaports. There's Michael Rappaport, Ian Rappaport, Dan Rappaport. I feel like the list goes on. And they're all sports analysts, journalists, whatever. But he's like, yeah, you know, Matt's not one of these big alpha males like Dustin Johnson. Yes, I got that right. Yes, Dustin Johnson. Matt's not one of these big alpha males like Dustin Johnson. And they show Dustin Johnson, and he's like got a beard and he's tall, so he's an alpha male, I guess. That like, golf is not, it's not a badass sport, and that's okay. It's a classier sport. It's a classy sport. And they tried to show a lot of the fans, you know, to, like, be like, see, some of our fans get wild, like the Waste Management Open, which that does look fun, I will admit. The Waste Management Open looks like a lot of fun. I would go to that. If I had to go to any golf thing, I would go to that because it looks like a lot of fun. They're like, oh, this is crazy. The fans can do what they want. I'm like, welcome to every other professional sport. Like, every other professional sport, the fans can be as crazy as they want. So... But they do it one open a year. They're like, oh, here we go. It's the Waste Management Open in Phoenix, Arizona. Watch out. They're shouting. Because a lot of the time, the commentators have to, you know, they have to talk like this. They do have to whisper. They have to talk very quietly. So, anyway, full swing. It's worth the watch, I think. Especially if you're a golf fan, obviously. Yeah, for sure it's worth the watch. But if you're not a golf fan like me, if you're someone who just kind of tolerates it, golf is great background noise. Love putting golf on during, like, Easter. You know, I'm not really watching. I'll walk in. I'll be like, oh, all right. Well, Murakawa. Oh, Scotty Scheffler. Looks like he's going to take this one. Like, and then I'll just walk it back out of the room and forget that I even watched a little bit of it. So it didn't make me an avid fan. It did not. But I learned a lot from it. I know more players than I did going into it. And... you know, maybe I'll keep an eye on it. I'm rooting for Joel Damon now. I know that much. Go Joel. Joel D. Amon. I mean, I can't come up. I don't know why I couldn't come up with a nickname for him on the spot. I'm tired. That's why. Anyway. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you all for tuning in to episode 54. Next episode, I promise, is going to have a guest on. Two guests, as a matter of fact. And then after that, we're going to have a guest on. And then after that, we're going to have a guest on. And then after that, we're going to have a guest on. Because you all dealt with... 3 episodes in a row of just me. You deserve better than that. Or was it 2? No, it was 3 in a row of just me. That's a bit overkill, you know? You're like, all right, Joe, I get it. You're an idiot. You don't have to keep telling us over and over 3 episodes in a row. But apparently I made that clear. All right. Thank you all. See you on 55. 55! That was actually, that was the second glass smash of the episode, which may be one too many glass smashes. The first one was added for dramatic effect because I was acting like I was falling over, so I wanted to put a sound in there that sounded like I was like breaking something, so glass smash, obviously. And then this one I put at the end of every episode. So, sorry if two is too many glass smashes. I'm going to keep it one from now on. Unless Stone Cold comes on the podcast, then we have to, there has to be a glass smash because it's Stone Cold. So I don't want to rob you of that. So, sorry. That was it. I'm out of here. That was it. Seriously.